What you believe will determine how you will live. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reminds us of why we are important to God.
And I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter where you've been and it doesn't matter what you've done. There is a God in heaven who loves you and he sees your life as essential. And you may say, but I'm messed up and I've been in drugs and I've been in alcohol. I've had an abortion. I've hurt somebody. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, Jesus loves you and he's willing to climb into your stinking life if you'll let him.
Do you doubt the value of your contribution? If so, you're not alone. Some of the greatest Bible heroes were considered non-essential in the world's eyes. In today's series, Essential Servants, we will learn about God's essential servants and how they made a difference. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Because we will become what we believe, our beliefs will prove to be a barrier or a vehicle to our success. God's desire is for us to go higher, to rise above our obstacles, and to live in health, abundance, and victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Fathers Are Essential.
Congratulations, you're going to have triplets. And the man said, that is amazing. He said, I work for 3M. That is just amazing. And right about that time, the third man fainted. And when he woke up, they said, what's wrong with you? He said, I work for 7-Up. And he was a little worried about that. But Abraham, he had been waiting a long time. He'd been awaiting, and God had given him Isaac. And now God is going to test him. Remember Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so here is an unthinkable cause, and here is an unplanned command. Notice in verse 4 it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He's commanded now to go 3 days' journey. The number 3 was always significant. It speaks of separation. It speaks of spending time getting away from the norm and coming here to the Mount of Sacrifice. And God had given the command. And so he very faithfully makes this journey to Mount Moriah, where he will lay his son on the altar. Tests are essential. Now, I want to say that when I read about Abraham's test, it often causes me to stop my complaining. And men, I don't know what your test might be, and I don't know what your complaint might be. I'm not going to ask your wife after church. We want to have a sweet spirit today. But many times as men, when we're going through a test, we talk about it, we grumble about it, we complain about it, we don't like it. But what we can see in the life of Abraham is a man who, without complaint, obeyed his God. And that is the kind of a man that we want to be in this moment, is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is the kind of man that Abraham was. And we don't need today men that are up and down and grumbling and complaining against God, but men today that are trusting God like Abraham trusted God. And so we see before us, tests are essential. And you say, well, I don't want to have tests, but they're essential to the building of a man of God. Every man of God that we would have respected has been through some trials and difficulties in life. But notice, secondly, obedience is essential. Now, what is a test if we're not going to obediently follow God through the test? Notice, if you would, in verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took of his young men with him, two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave to the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now, we usually want the path of least resistance, but what we should desire is the path of soon obedience, obeying God's command for our life. And so we see with Abraham an immediate obedience. We see a man that is immediately following God with complete faith. There's no hesitation. He's doing exactly what God has called him to do. He's leaving out for Mount Moriah. He has a confident faith. The Bible says in verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." Notice this. "And come again to you." Notice the confidence Abraham says. He says, "Now I and the lad are going to go up. We're going to sacrifice, and we will come again to you." He is trusting the Lord. There is a calmness with which Abraham expresses his faith to God. May I say to you, as I look into the eyes of young children these days, and sometimes as they see on the news people burning restaurants, as they see on the news all of the difficulties, and as they see adults yelling at each other, and as they hear about COVID. Recently, we're having prayer with some of our grandchildren. I said, "What is your prayer request?" "Pray that my dad doesn't get COVID." They think about these things, and they hear these things. But can I tell you something? That in the midst of these seasons, we need to be dads like Abraham, who said to the servants, "We're going to go up to the mountain, and we'll be back down, because God is going to provide. God is always in control. God has a purpose in this. We can trust him." And I can just see Abraham going up the mount singing, "I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives a song." I believe he was that kind of a man. Just keep on trusting the Lord. Oh, listen, the children may look at the news, and they may see the anger, and they may misunderstand the difficulties in the country. But when they look to a Christian father, may they see a man that is trusting in the Lord. He says, "We will come again." D.L. Moody said, "I prayed for faith and it did not come. But when I read the word of God, faith came." Oh, listen, may we spend more time in this precious book than listening to the talking heads. May we find a security and a confidence. May we find that God is building our faith in these days. Hebrews 11 and verse 18, "Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And so he had a complete faith. He had a confident faith. He had a consenting faith. He was willing to do what God was asking. Notice in verse 7, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Now I think of that question. Could you imagine this? You're going up the hill, you're with your dad, he's singing, "I just keep trusting my Lord." That's the chapel version, if you haven't read that lately. He's having this heart of faith, and his son says, "Dad, we have the fire, we have the wood. Where's the sacrifice?" I imagine the piercing that must have made in Abraham's heart. Sometimes there are piercings and testings. I was speaking with this young pastor's son this morning, whose father passed away. And even after all these years of dealing with trials and difficulties, to be honest, sometimes you don't know what to say immediately to someone. You just quickly pray, "Lord, give me the right words." And I said to young Zach, I said to him, "Zach, I believe God's going to use your life greatly for the Lord." You see, God doesn't want us to waste a trial. God doesn't waste testings. He has a reason. And he's testing Abraham, and he's trying his faith. And Isaac said, "But where's the wood?" And yet through all of these piercing questions, Abraham was obeying God. He was, secondly, believing God. He had a believing obedience. Notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And Abraham said, My God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. Abraham reminds his son that God will provide. God will provide. Your children may see you writing a tithe check, but "Dad, I thought we were a little tight this month. How's that going to work out?" My son, God will provide. "But Dad, I don't understand. How are we gonna get the whole church back? And how are we gonna see revival once again? My son, God will provide. But Dad, this is a difficult time, and it seems like there's no hope. My son, God will provide. You see, the life that follows God is a life of faith, and this is so needed today. And we need dads who will say to their families, and we need men who will say to one another, God's going to get us through this. This virus is going to be a thing of the past. One day, a lot of these difficult situations in our nation will be healed, and God's grace will bring healing, and souls will be saved, and God will bring us through this. And there needs to be a generation of men today who are not the Eeyores, always discouraged, but like Abraham, obeying God and believing God and trusting God that he will bring us through these difficult times. And this is the kind of father Abraham was, that when it seemed like everything was going wrong, he was the kind of father who said, God will make a way. And where there seems to be no way, God will make a way. Oh, today, men, may we rise up in our families. And we don't have to understand and have every answer, but we can understand this, that we serve a mighty God who will bring us through these times and who will strengthen us through these times. Oh, listen, friend, we need to have the faith of Abraham this morning. Oh, he was believing God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Oh, friend, today, let's be faithful in the midst of the test. Tests are essential. They're going to come into the life of every man of God. Tests are essential to make you an essential man of God. Obedience is essential. When you come to the test, we must be obedient to the Lord. We must find ourselves faithfully walking up Mount Moriah, believing that he's going to make a way, believing that he will provide. But then I want to share with you my favorite part of the message today. That is that grace is essential. Grace is essential. Grace is the work of God in your heart. Grace is what gets you through the trial. And I want you to notice this in verse 9. We see that whenever we exercise faith, God meets us with grace. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Here we see Abraham lifting up his hand. We see Abraham over his son, Isaac. We see him literally to the last moment believing God will make a way. God will provide. God will allow us to see a victory in this. And he raises a knife over his son in obedience, essential obedience. And in that moment, God made a way. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Hebrews 11, 19. Meaning, Abraham believed that even if Isaac's life was taken, God would raise him up because Isaac was the promised son. There's not a father in here who can say, well, I would do that. I have faith like that. Every father in here has a hard time getting his brain around that, much less his heart into that. But Abraham prepared and lifted up his hand and was willing to obey God. And we see here that Isaac is a picture of Jesus Christ, the promised son, who laid himself on a cross, who willingly suffered and died. And oh, how we're mindful of this picture, John 10 and 17. Therefore doth my father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down myself. Abraham prepared to take Isaac's life. But notice how God provided in grace. God provided. We see that in verse 11, don't we? It says, the angel called unto him out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here am I. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. And Abraham, verse 13, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Here we see that Isaac is spared, that God is saying to Abraham, Abraham, you have passed the test. Isaac is going to be spared. Abraham showed himself to be willing to give his most valued possession to the Lord, and he passes this test. And by God preserving Isaac, God is also preserving the entire nation of Israel. But it all hinged on the faith of one man, Abraham, who just kept trusting his Lord, who just believed that God would provide a substitute. And friends, I want to remind you that God has provided a substitute for us. Even as there was a ram in that thicket, even as Isaac was able to come up off of that altar, and there was a ram laid upon that altar, I'm thankful that though I should have died for my own sins, though I should have suffered and died because of the wages of my sin, that God sent a substitute, and that substitute's name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, who is perfect, and Jesus Christ, who had never sinned, laid down on the altar willingly and lovingly to shed his blood so that I could be forgiven. And oh, let us never get over the fact that Jesus Christ paid for our sin, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. And I'm thankful today that I serve a God that is able to cleanse the sin of anyone. You listen to me this morning, you say, I don't like what that police officer did. Let me tell you what, God loves him and died for him. And though he may have done wrong, there's a God in heaven whose blood can forgive his sin. And you say, but I don't like what those rioters did and how they hurt that police officer. And did you know that there's a God in heaven who loves him? As I said a few weeks ago, all of us are from the same race, the human race. And let me tell you, the problem in our human race is sin. And the only covering for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. And what we ought to be marching around talking about is the blood of Jesus Christ and the healing of Jesus Christ and the unity of Jesus Christ and the covering of Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid a price he did not owe. And I had a debt I could not pay, but it was paid by Jesus when he laid down on that cross. And even as Abraham said, oh, thank you, God, for the ram in the thicket. Thank you for providing a way of sacrifice. We ought to leave here today saying, thank you, God, for providing a sacrifice through your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. He paid the price for you and for me. And it is only by his blood that we are saved. Abraham's faith to follow God is an essential. It is essential that we would have faith to follow God in the mountains and through the valleys and in the difficult times and through the easier times. Oh, you say, I like following God when there's no trials, and I like following God when there's just easy things happening with my contracts at work and the economy. But listen, sometimes the test comes, doesn't it? Sometimes God asks us to walk through seasons that we weren't really thinking we'd ever walk through. I don't know about you, but I think 5 or 10 years from now, lots of us will go, remember that COVID? Wasn't that the strangest time? Remember how it seemed like the devil threw so many trials all at once? Remember the difficulty? Remember some lost their jobs and some were sick and some were so frustrated and discouraged? But you remember how God just kind of brought us through it? One day, how many of you are looking forward to that day when you can say, remember when we wore masks to church? How many of you want to be a remember when on that one? I know you do. But let me tell you, friend, God will make a way. I want you to turn to a verse in your Bibles real quickly before we're done here. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Because we're learning that dads are essential, and we're learning that great dads are dads who go through the trials and keep their eyes on Jesus. And I want you to see how the Bible tells us we can all make it through these trials, no matter what your trial is today. no matter what your testing might be today. And some of you have seen this verse many times, but we need to see it today. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now look right here for just a moment. Sometimes we see trials just in our little life and experience. I was talking yesterday with one of our members about sometimes prejudice and hurt and hate. And sometimes we see it in our American, we see, boy, America's just, there's so much hate. No, 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 no. There's hate all over the world. I've never seen it any harder than I've seen it at times between the Koreans and the Japanese. The Korean people hate the Japanese. The Japanese occupied and tortured the Koreans. And so, yes, there's been sins of slavery. There's been sins of occupation. There's been, as in the Japanese occupation, there's been sins of genocide. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't ever get the idea that, oh, I'm the only one and we're the only ones. I want you to know, notice what the Bible says. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. These trials, these challenges, they go all the way back to the first family. You remember Adam and Eve had two sons. What were their names? Cain and Abel. And remember, Cain killed Abel. You see, this trial, this sinful world, there's a commonality to all of this, and it's traced all the way back to Adam. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But notice this, but God is faithful. Would you say that with me through your mask? But God is faithful. No, how's he faithful? Notice this, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way, what? Of escape. Did he make a way of escape for Abraham? Right? Did he make a way of escape for us, respecting the cross? Yes. But through COVID, he'll bring us through it. He brought us to it. He'll bring us through it. Right? Whatever the burden, if we just keep trusting the Lord, it's a trial that is common to man. God is faithful. He's not going to allow this to drown you out. If you keep looking to him, if you keep trusting him, he's going to give you grace. And by the way, grace is essential. Now, if you don't grow in grace, you'll get bitter and you'll quit. But if you keep growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then he'll bring you through it. But that's what tests are all about. Am I going to get the grace of God? Am I going to look to Jesus Christ? And if I do, then like Abraham, I'm going to be saying, praise be to God for what he has done. God has made a way in my life, but I've got to keep looking to the Lord and keep trusting him and keep receiving his grace. That's why the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, dads, you are so essential, so needed. And so many young people in this country and around the world that are frustrated. And when you see the fruit of it, but you know, discerning Christians, they look to the roots. And many times below the surface, there's a calling out for a family, a calling out for a father, a calling out for a heavenly father. And dads, we need to point the way to that Heavenly Father. You are essential. But to be the dad, to be the man of God that we're called to be, sometimes tests come along. Tests are essential. And when they come, obedience is essential. We've got to trust God like Abraham did. And when we obey him, grace will be applied and God will meet the need.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.